Did you see the thing that I did yesterday to my buddy? The pun that I sent him?
No, tell me about it.
Okay. Why do rogues wear leather armor?
I think I know this, but I don't... Tell me.
Because it's made of hide.
Okay. Yeah, I did know that.
Oh, he hates puns, so of course I try and send him a pun every day.
Well, you're so punny.
Like, he saw me ask the question. He's like, oh, it's you. Because he knew what was coming.
Speaking of coming, I started the recording. So, hi, everybody.
Oh, sweet.
Welcome to Two Trolls and a Brew, a podcast about Magic the Gathering and being lovely and wonderful to other people.
Apparently also coming.
Also coming, yes. So, we had one comment this week. We had a individual listen to the podcast, last week's podcast, and say he couldn't get through the first couple of minutes because we talked about more not magic stuff for too long. And well, we needed to get to the magic stuff sooner.
Really, it was just about your stupid dogs.
I love the dogs. The dogs are great. The dogs are the
best.
We're
not just... Anyways.
Hey, look, this is what we do. We banter, then we get to the show. So if people don't like the banter...
I can always
I don't understand. Like, the banner's great.
You can skip it.
You could fast forward.
It's not that difficult. There's a button.
Wonderful. Yeah, there's a button. But less of Samus and Travis. That's not cool.
Sometimes the world needs less of you.
That's
more
true.
Of me.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to deny it. Sometimes I'm the best. Sometimes I'm the worst. Sometimes.
But every time I'm the best.
I mean, sure. I mean, I've known you a long time. I've always thought you're the best. I mean, not at anything in particular, but definitely the best. So, hey, everybody.
As long as you admit that I'm the best.
You are. You're the best. Today's episode, today will be awful. That's today's episode show title. I guess there's some audio interference on Travis's end. I guess some construction happening. So bear with us at any potential audio issues.
Loud noises.
Although, if people listen to this podcast normally, it has a tendency to have audio issues. So I don't know why they expect it to be any different.
Yeah. We're not going to change.
I'm trying.
Uh-oh.
Lower your expectations. We're terrible. Subtitle, Stump a Judge, which is never fun. I mean, it's fun if you're the one stumping the judge. But if you're the judge getting stumped, it's not pleasant. People take that shit personal.
Oh, well, I mean,
very personal.
They should be better then.
I guess so. Travis.
See.
Your troll card, buddy.
My troll card of the week is Walker of the Waste.
Tell me about
it. Well, it is a 5-drop, 4 and colorless. It's a 4/4 with trample that gets +1/+1 for each waste you control. And, well, the reason I chose that card is because I was playing an Alter Ego Eldrazi list this week at FNM.
Okay.
And this card in particular caught everyone by surprise. Because people are like, all right, we know what Reality Smasher does. We know what Thought Not Seer does. We know what the Mimics do and the Endless One. We know what all of those things do. I play this card, and every time that I put it down, people read it. Sometimes they read it multiple turns in a row.
Like, it's got a lot of text on it for a card that's terrible and doesn't get a lot of play.
Right.
And I don't mean terrible as in, like, it's actual terrible. Like, it doesn't, since it's not really played in standard, it's, yeah, it's got a lot of words.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I really didn't have an opportunity to pick one. a troll card this week, so I'm going to think about what caused me issues at the draft this week, other than people just like multiple planeswalkers against me and Mana Screw. And that card is going to once again be Olvenwald Mysteries. This card is amazing. I want to build a deck or a standard deck around it, probably in Magic to get or on Magic Online. Because otherwise, there's no point. Like, if you're gonna build around a card,
go online.
Like a budget card like this, you should go online. Yeah.
No, is that the one where when a creature dies, you get a clue?
Yes, when a non-token creature dies, you investigate. And whenever you sacrifice, you get a 1/1 white human soldier token.
Right, okay.
What I really want to do is I want to play, like, in Modern maybe, and this could be totally wrong, I don't know, but I want to play, like, these Overwhelm Mysteries in, like, a green affinity deck, and then just, like, sacrifice all these crazy... like these zero casting cost artifacts to like a Arcbound Ravager or whatever, a Crack Clan Ironwork something, and then just it generates even more clues. And then when I sacrifice those clues to make 1/1 white humor soldier tokens, so I have like both an army of 1/1 soldiers for like using zero or one mana creatures.
Holy crap!
But then I play a token, or I play a non-creature thing, I sacrifice it, and I draw a card. Like, it seems like a chain that can go crazy. I mean, necessarily draw a card if you don't spend the two mana, but...
Even at the end of their turn, if you make... Like, if you already have, like, a few artifacts in play...
Right.
And one of them is the Ravager, and, like, you have the, you know, like, I don't know, Ornithopters, whatever the pet, you know, whatever the other things are...
Right, Ornithopters, Midnights.
Midnight. That was the thing I was thinking of. And then you have multiple mysteries on the field. Like, you sacrifice your creatures to make the clues.
Right.
And then you sacrifice the clues to the Ravager, and you make multiple tokens off of that.
See, if you have something like a Crack Clan Ironworks, you sacrifice the creature to the Crack Clan Ironworks. You get a clue, and you get two colorless mana, so then you could draw a card, and you get a 1/1.
Yeah.
Right? You see where I'm going? Like, I think there's a lot of play specifically to this enchantment. I don't know how good it really is, you know, compared to other things, but so, I think you can fill up a deck with, like, a lot of really interesting green hate cards and artifact stuff.
I'm thinking you need to take this idea to Terrence. Since he already has the affinity built.
Well, I have all the stuff I need, basically.
Oh, okay, you have it?
Minus the... like the thing that holds me back from affinity is, like, Mox Opal or whatever it's called. The Mox, because they're, like, $60 each.
Just proxy that in with a Lotus Petal. No one will know the difference.
But, yeah, something, like, along those lines... I think it would be interesting that you can make it go boom, boom, boom. But I'm not 100% sure. You could also, like, make it green, black. And you could run that enchantment that gives your creatures, like, what is it, minus two or something, but they cost two mana less.
Yeah, the...
I forget
what Heartless Summoning.
Heartless Summoning. But the disadvantage there is there's not really like artifact creatures that you could play that won't just instantly die, which is fine. They'll die as soon as you play it, but you won't be able to sacrifice that to the, like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't set up that weird combo. But so theoretically, you get creature and a Crack Clan Ironworks, you just go to town.
Right. So why not just four color? And have that black-white god in there.
Oh,
sacrifice your little dudes, and you know they're either going to lose three life, or you know you're going to get them back, and you're going to be casting them for dirt cheap anyway. So
doing an Abban style, or you could do this in like an open the is it open the vault, where it takes all the things that all the artifacts, and it's like 6 mana, like white and 4, I think.
Yes.
And then you replay them.
Right, you put them all back into play.
Yeah, so there's a possibility of that too. I don't know. I said I think you have a lot of play if you consider specifically artifact decks and Ulan Mysteries.
Yeah.
I think, because, I mean, you have at least a couple of worthwhile sacrifice creatures / artifacts in Modern. You can make it work. The problem is, like, you don't really have those kind of interactions in Standard, unless you're sacrificing, like, tokens. In which case, right. Then this doesn't really work. So, I don't know. It seems good. You could also put in, like, Springleaf Drums, and theoretically, you'll have human soldiers that you could tap. I don't know. I think there's a lot of interactions. It's just a matter of figuring out what exactly they're going to be. But again, you know, that's been my focus the last couple weeks, figuring out Modern and figuring out what I want to play.
I'm pretty sure what you need to do is Gruul Affinity, and the only reason, you know, red and green are in there is for the mysteries and impact tremors.
Maybe. I mean, I think there needs to be a way to tutor up the enchantment, and I think that's where your focus should be. Because the deck combos around this Overwall Mysteries, and I'm not sure how you can get it. You know what I'm saying? And there's not, like, really efficient green card draw right now. Like, we have a lot of pseudo-green card draw.
In Modern, there is.
Name one. Other than Harmonize, which is double green.
Okay, so Harmonize, Explore.
So you're cycling.
Right. Manamorphos, again, cycle, but that's cycling. Essentially a free cycle.
Okay, cycling.
Plus mana fix. And Explore is cycle and ramp.
I mean, if you have a land.
Yeah.
I want to be able to draw multiple cards. You know, I want to draw like 2 cards or something, or 3 cards. And green doesn't really have that, so you have to branch to another color. It's just a matter of how you want to do it. If you go white, you can put in Enlightened Tutors, right?
Right.
Any enchantment. Mm-hmm. Plus, that gives you access to, like I said, the Open the Vaults.
Right.
So green, white, that makes fetches pretty easy because green, white fetch lands have just been reprinted. So that's not terrible, but now you're tutoring and you're not really drawing. Like, there's not really a good white card draw that I can think of. I mean, once you get this first Overwall Mysteries down, card draw is not a problem.
Right.
So it's just finding the first one and playing it. So I don't know, whatever. We'll see. The other nice thing is, like I said, it gives you a lot of potential hate with the green. Like, you could main deck
Beast Choke. Within.
Well, Beast Within, Choke, stuff like that. And just, like, really punish people. Isn't there a red hoser in white? Like, blows up all the mountains or something like that? I know there's a red card that blows up all the plains.
Well, there's a red card that blows up all the plains, and there's one that I think it destroys all islands also. No, that's not in Modern.
Boil?
Yeah, Boil's not in Modern. See, white one that... Oh, Karma. No, that's Melt. Is it?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of other hate in white that you could put in, but I guess white would give you access to some of the better... My phone just tripped.
Whoops, the internet just exploded.
Oh, you're still here. Long as you're here on the podcast, that's all I care about. That reduces the amount of editing I have to do. Can you hear me?
Yeah. No, it's just the gatherer's down for maintenance.
Okay. Well, then I better not reload any pages then.
Right, because I was trying to look up Karma.
Okay. Yeah, I'm...
Well, no, Karma's Swamps, isn't it?
I don't remember. I'd have, like I said, I'd have to look. You could probably just Google Karma and find it.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Karma MTG card. Anyway, like I said, I think there's a lot of hate that we could work in. It's just a matter of how much hate do you want to have versus how much combo do you want to have versus how much tutor you need. So, I don't know. It's something to kick around, brew with, see. I mean, I don't want to invest in Arcbound Ravagers on Magic Online. I'm not sure what they are, but I'm sure they're not cheap. I could probably not look here pretty quickly, actually, to be totally honest. Affinity, MTG Goldfish, online, Arcbound Ravagers. Oh, playset, $30 online.
For a playset?
That's what it says.
Not bad.
I mean, reasonable. On paper, they're $176 for a playset.
It's way better online.
So, I don't know. They said Memnites, Ornithopters, Signal Pests. Not that I plan on attacking.
Right. You just want that body.
Yeah, I just want the body to sit there for a second and then go away. So, yeah, like I said, I think this is totally doable. I don't really know, though. Is it worth losing speed to have, like, an exciting, interesting combo that attacks people from left field? Oh, wait, never mind. That's, like, all we do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's probably fine. And then there's, like, white gives you that 2/2 flyer that returns an artifact to your hand, right? I forget what it's called. From Mirrodin. Sure. I think there's a white 2/2 flyer that bounces an artifact. And then you can run things like the Chromatic Star. So you sacrifice an artifact and you draw a card. Or you sacrifice it and you draw a card. And you can spend a mana. I don't know. There's a lot of play, I think, to this as a potential deck. I'll have to look into it. Anyway, why we do enjoy brewing on the fly.
Right.
We do have a little bit of show note to cover. Not very much. But did you see this white Eldrazi list that came out recently at channelfireball.com?
No.
You're bringing up.
You should know by now that I don't.
I don't look at the show notes. I've only been sitting here for 20 minutes, Samus.
No, I was going to say, I don't go to the sites. I don't look at what other people are doing.
Well, I feel like it's important to know what other people are seeing and reading so you know what to attack.
Why did they do that to me?
So I'll quickly run down this list and so you can get an idea, listener. Abyssins, obviously. Eldrazi Displacers, obviously. Hedron Callers, which I don't like, but I probably are necessary evil in this deck. Knight of the White Orchard. Matter Reshapers, Reality Smashers, Thought Not Seers, Gideons, and Secure the Wastes are like your win conditions. Declaration in Stone, Spatial Contortion, and Tragic Arrogance are your removal package. I guess you also have a Westfell Abbey, because what deck doesn't have a Westfell Abbey now?
Any of mine.
And you also have a Foundry of the Consoles. So, excuse me, took too big of a breath there. So basically, it's like all these other colorless decks right now, except they're running Gideon, Abyssin, and Knight of the White Orchards for some interesting combos. I mean, the Gideon kind of has a combo, not as much because you can't really blink it easily. I guess if it takes a couple of points of damage, you can make it a creature and then blink it to reset its loyalty back up. So if you have time, right, like you could +1 Gideon, -4 Gideon, +1 Gideon, attack, and then blink it, and you'll have 4 counters again. So, I mean, you have some interactions in there with Gideon, but they're like if you already have time to do all that, you're probably already winning. Knight of the White Orchard obviously lets you spend 3 mana to, like, assuming you're a little bit behind on planes, to, like, filter planes out of your deck all day long. Mattery Shaper, of course, is just like, you know, kill my creature. Now I have a new thing, like a replacement effect. Thought-Knot Seer, there's a way that you can kind of things go where you can hit a couple of cards in your opponent hand, but they get to continue to draw. So I'm not really sure how great it is, but it lets you exile repeatedly. But the main big combo is with this Archangel Avison, right? It gives you the ability to reset it and reflip her back over. So you can, like, do the 3 damage to everything and then spend the mana, flip it back over, repeat. I don't know. I thought it looked really interesting to me. I mean, I don't think I'd play it quite in the configuration it's laid out, but it's nice.
I don't think I'd play it.
What?
I don't think I'd play it.
At all?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Just looks...
I mean...
It looks kind of boring to me. I mean, I understand, you know, it's a good deck, but it just looks boring to me.
I mean, I think, again, this is one of those decks that somebody's going to look at and be like, oh, this is hot. I'll put it together. I don't know how good it is, but I don't know. I said it looks like a fun one to play, like a week here, a week there or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you want to come out of nowhere and surprise somebody with a deck for Friday Night Magic. This looks like one of those decks, assuming you have some of these cards.
Stop doing that.
I can't help it.
You're proving that I'm not a sociopath.
Oh, sweet. No, I've been staying up to like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning for the last couple of weeks now, since I got ill or whatever. So I get like 4 hours of sleep a night now, so I tend to yawn quite a bit. Especially when I take a big breath. I don't know. I like it. I think it looks sexy. Again, this is a deck that I would put together for Remington or Tanya to play at like a game day or something. Not that we have anything like that coming up soon, but I don't know. I thought it looked good. I was actually, to be really honest with you, I was looking for deck lists from this last weekend, being it was a RPTQ weekend, but I didn't find any. I feel a little sad about that. Well, I was hoping that there would be some new hotness coming out of the Brewers. You know what I mean?
Oh, crap.
But I couldn't find them. I even dug through my judge friend, who is a level 2 in the area, who does all the head judging for these kind of things. And it didn't get the job done. Let me see. I have a request here to activate the live chat, and I don't know if I have that or not. I have to fiddle with it. Oh, Travis, what's next on the list here? This one's yours. He's like, you didn't type it in the show notes, so I don't know.
What, just the ruling?
Well, you wanted to discuss like the reason you titled the subtitle, Stump the Judge.
Oh, right.
Basically, okay, I'm going to clean this up so it doesn't sound terrible. So Travis wanted to name the show Stump a Judge because of a rule interaction with what is one of our favorite cards right now, Altered Ego. Go.
All right. So, like I said at the beginning, I was playing an Altered Ego list, and there came a point when I kind of, you know, slow, like, it took him a little bit longer to answer the question because he was just thinking about it. But it came up with Altered Ego and Hangerback Walker. And, okay. We actually had to look it up just to clarify, because he gave us the answer, and then he goes, but just in case I'm wrong, we should look this up.
Okay, what exactly was the question? Let me see if I get the answer right or not.
All right, so the alter ego, it comes into play as a copy of target creature.
Yes.
And
if X counters if you paid X.
Yes. Okay. So the question was, so I paid 7 mana for the altered ego.
Okay.
So it was going to come in with 3 counters regardless. Now the question was, would it get the X counters from the casting of the Hangar Backwalker? Meaning, would that...
not. The way I would believe that to be, the answer would be no.
Right.
What did, what was the answer?
Well, the answer was no.
Okay.
Because when you cast the Altered Ego, it's not copying the casting cost. Well, it's that part wasn't relevant. It's not copying the casting cost of the thing that it's copied. It's just copying the creature.
Well, so it doesn't seem. Well, hang on. Specifically, if you target a creature that has an X in its converted mana cost, the X is always zero when you're copying something. So it would, that X would be zero. So it would be a 0/0 Hangar Backwalker regardless.
Correct.
And then because it's not a Hangar Backwalker when you cast it, you can't put X mana into it when you cast it. So it comes into play as a 0/0. And then because this comes with additional 1/1 counters, it gets to live. Otherwise, it would just insta-die.
Right.
So I think it really depends on where you want to look at the rule. But the rule that would be effect first would be when you clone a creature, its converted mana cost is zero.
Right.
Of the creature copied kind of situation. Of course, when you're casting the Altered Ego or whatever the clone is, it cares about its converted mana cost while it's on the stack.
Right.
So, yeah, weird. Weird question.
Yeah, so it did come in as a Hangar Back with 3 counters on it because I cast it for 7.
What did your... So how did this stump the judge exactly?
Well, because I think when I was saying it, I was wording it wrong, but I'm not entirely sure. And then my opponent, he was also trying to, you know, clarify. So I think just the way we were wording it may have confused how he interpreted what we were saying. So basically he just boiled it down to exactly what you said, where it's CMC is 0 of the copied creature, but since you're casting it for its own cost, it's getting the value of what it is and not the creature that it's copying.
Gotcha. So, oh, keep going. Finish your thought. I didn't mean to interrupt there.
I mean, that was it on the stump, the judge. It was just that.
Okay, well, I want to throw in something here. Two things, actually. First of all, as a level 1 judge, especially if you're trying to work to level 2 or you're the only level 1 that really works in your area, like how we currently have the arena set up, we really have 2 level 1 judges, but 98% of the time, I'm the level 1 judge on call, basically, for like any Friday Night Magic or all the GPTs or anything like that. Basically, that's me. That's my job. I answer the questions. And while we do have another level 1, he's just not available on Fridays, and he's really not always available. We tend to schedule the GPTs on Sunday. He's not really available on Sunday. So it just works out in such a way where it falls on my job, my responsibility to answer these questions. And it's one of those situations where if you get the question wrong, that really blows up on you as a judge. And you're better off erring on the side of, well, let's just look it up, almost every time. Because on that one shot that you remember something wrong or you say something wrong, it gets you. Like, if you remember not too long ago, we had, I think we talked about it on the podcast, for those of you who haven't gone back and re-listened to the past episodes or whatever. But when I first got my judge and I first took over as right before I got my judge and I took over as Friday Night Magic judge, right? They knew I was working on it. I had my whatever rule advisory shenanigans. Someone asked a question about a creature returning to play under somebody else's control, yada, 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 you know, and I just snap answered the question incorrectly. And it really caused like a lot of local drama around this ruling. Like, you know, multiple people were coming in and interfering with the game after the ruling was set. And, you know, we hadn't looked up the rule or understood the rule about a judge making a decision and stuff like that. So bystanders were stopping the game and the match and rolling people back and blah, blah, blah. And it just turned into this giant cluster that boiled over onto online and et cetera, et cetera. And basically it was a mess. So as a judge, I've often found it's easier to, you know, people get less upset with you if you go, hey, let's just look it up. Like, even if it takes an extra couple of minutes, people seem to be a little bit more lenient in their,
in their reaction.
Yeah, just in the reactions. Like, even if you're like, well, I think it works like this, but let's look it up. And then if you go, yep, okay, well, I just, you know, here's confirmation that works the way I think it does. Or, hey, no, I'm wrong. Here we go. Again, I just feel that that's the easiest. So, like, I do that. If someone asks me a judge question why I'm playing in a match with them, I always just look it up. I say, hey, well, you know. And if more people would do that, I would cheat less often.
Right. No. This is the ruling, you guys. Trust me, I'm a judge.
Never. I've never once said that. I've always said, you don't, okay, if this isn't how this works, let's find out right now. Let's stop everything, hold the presses, and look it up. Because I don't want to be that guy who's like trying to, you know, doesn't, how to put this? I don't want to be that guy who's like, no, I know best. I always know best. Do what I say. You know what I mean? I would rather someone call me out and we stop everything, we look it up, than people that they can't play with me because I'm unwilling to be wrong or I always think I'm right or anything like that, especially. So, yeah, it just, I don't know. It's one of those things. So even though this judge, it sounded like he knew the answer, but he still wanted to stop and look it up. I think that's good practice. So I also, convenient enough, had an answer or a question about Altered Ego this week while judging at Friday Night Magic Draft.
Alter your brains.
By the wife. And I just want to clarify this for some people. So it's a weird time, right? You have Altered Ego in this draft environment at the same time that you have flip cards, transformative cards. So this interaction of how this works is actually kind of important. So somebody had a werewolf. I don't remember which werewolf, but I believe it was turned over to be like a 4/4 at the moment, probably like a 4/4 something. I don't care. And in this example, let's say it's just the plain vanilla 4/4. And Tanya, the wife, cast Alter Ego, copying that 4/4 with like plus 4 counters or something, right? And they were trying to figure out what it was going to be. I don't know what you're doing, but it's distracting the hell out of me with your noise crunching over there, Travis.
Did I not put myself on mute?
You did not. You did not. I'm going to guess better because I can't hear you. Oh, no, I hear you.
Well, then
I know what you're doing.
My mic doesn't have a mute.
awesome. Wait, this is a good headset. So anyway, the question was, it came up a couple turns later, somebody cast two spells. What happens to my altered ego that's a turned over werewolf, right? I had to stop and look it up and, you know, like I always do. So here's the ruling, the clarification. If you copy a double-faced creature, altered ego will be a copy of the face that is up when it enters the battlefield. Okay, which we already know. Because altered ego is not a double-faced card, it won't be able to transform. So if an effect instructs you to return it to the battlefield transformed, it won't return and will ever remain in its new zone. So all those cards that say, like, leave play and come back, turned over, it'll just stay left play, right? Things that say transform this creature, there's no other side to transform to, so it just stays there, right? If it doesn't go to a new zone, it can't, it doesn't flip over. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So like if you copy one of the flip planeswalkers, it can't, it leaves play trying to, like, so if you do like the copy of a Jace, right? So you activate Jace, the Jace flip ability would happen. It leaves the zone, tries to flip over but can't, and then it never comes back. So if you have a werewolf that's flipped over and is in werewolf form, someone casts two spells, it can't turn back over. So it's like locked in werewolf form forever. Same way if you do something that's before it's a werewolf, right? If it's still in human form and you, let's say it's the 2-2 that we were talking about that turns into a 4-4, if you make a 2-2, it can't turn over into a 4-4 ever. It's trapped. Which is kind of a cool interaction once you, like, think about it and process that. Like, you can do a lot of interesting things that way, right? Like, you can lock an Avacyn into face-up mode if you wanted a 4-4 flyer for some reason. I don't know if a Avacyn face-up is good. Like,
no.
on her own? Like,
no.
Because you can't give her flash, right? Because you're casting this thing. I guess it's vigilance, right? Like flying vigilance.
4-4.
The other one is a flying... when it comes into play trigger, or when it transforms trigger. So you can have a 6-5 flying that comes into play tap, or taps to attack, or 4-4 flyer that's locked into position.
Right.
So as part of the live show, we have begun to tweet this out, tweet the links out, stuff like that. So we have a live comment here from one of our new viewers, Julian out there, props to you. He's been hanging out on the live stream during the day. Specifically why I'm playing Factorio, which is my new addiction. Surprisingly, have I started talking to you about this game, Travis? I know this isn't a Magic the Gathering subject, so I apologize to everybody out there.
Sean.
So Factorio is kind of like a resource gathering game that I think kind of has like a cross between like a SimCity-esque type feel. So the idea is that it's in a future world, you crash land on this empty planet, or you think it's empty. It turns out there are alien bugs that don't like you. And you have a backpack that can build certain things. And you can advance through like a technology tree. But the idea is that you gather these resources by building machines, and then you pipe them around with like transport belts or trains or stuff like that, until eventually the idea is that you shoot up a satellite that I think it's called a rocket defense. And I'm not sure exactly the story part, but that is like the win condition. Okay, so whether or not it's a satellite protecting you from the bugs, or if it's a satellite protecting you from another spaceship, or what, I don't know. Like maybe you're the king of the planet now. I'm not real clear, but the point of the game is that you launch this into outer space and it's like a da-da-da-da, you win the game kind of thing. So I've been doing a lot of that, and what it really has like given me, this particular game, one of the reasons it appeals to me, is it really hits my brewer's button, right? Like, I have limited resources, and I have limited time, and because you're being constantly attacked by enemies. Well, not constantly, but you're being attacked by enemies, depending on, like, your pollution that your machines build or whatever. But you're this plant, and you're designing it on the fly for the most part. Like, you could have some pre-made models or whatever in your mind. You get off the planet. That's weird. I thought it was called a defense rocket. I don't know. Anyway.
Defend the planet. Leave.
Exactly. So, like I said, it's scratching that itch, I think, in particular, that makes me really excited to play card games like Magic the Gathering or Hearthstone to a lesser degree. And also, like, scratches that build itch that I get, like, making a new MMO character build, except, or, I don't know, something else I'm trying to think of. But it, like, that strategy itch that I get from playing games like Shining Force that we just finished up this last week, and all the videos should now be on YouTube, by the way, if you're interested on a, like, a walkthrough of Shining Force or a playthrough of Shining Force. All those videos are up at youtube.com/SamusGrobo. And I don't know. I find it to be really interesting and challenging game right now. And it's got, like, a multiplayer mode, and it's got kind of like a rough single-player mode, I think. But the game is really cool. I'd ask everyone to give it a check out if they're interested in that kind of thing. And it might be a game for you, Travis. I don't know. Do you play any of those kind of things? I know you do a lot of League of Legends.
League and Magic is pretty much all I play. I mean, other than occasionally CSGO, Battlefield, Star Wars Battlefield, sorry, or Battlefront. And
your sister yeah. Didn't let you know that it's done.
Yep.
Not exactly sure what. Oh.
Spaghetti.
I thought she, like, killed and buried all your enemies.
No, that would take way too much time. She doesn't have that much land space. I really don't play many games, but the ones I do, I just play often.
Well, I know you spend, like, I'll get text messages or whatever from you, like, and vice versa, like, deck list ideas. Like, that conversation we had at the beginning of the show happens via text message or Facebook message with Travis and I. And I think these kind of things happen to everybody who brews, but I think this is a similar-esque, I don't know, I think it might scratch that itch, but in a different way. I don't know. Give it a shot.
Right.
What else do we want to put on this list, Travis? Should we talk a little bit about how last week in Magic went? How did your Friday Night Magic go, bro?
Friday night, I went 2-2. I went 2-2, and it was very, the reasons I lost the games that I did, and it really irritates me because I had 25 lands in the deck and 8 sources of ramp. The 2 matches that I lost was because I didn't get enough mana.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty rough.
But the 2 games that I won, I just steamrolled them. Because, well, I mean, that's how Eldrazi works. But then also,
what exactly did you play this last week, other than Walker of the Wastes?
I played Endless One, Mimic.
Did you play like a colorless Eldrazi list?
Yeah, it was like basically colorless Eldrazi with.
Did we talk about this last week and I've totally forgot?
Nope. I built it, like, probably after we did the showing. Well, I got the deck right here. I'm going to go through it.
Okay, hit me.
So the non-lands, let's see. I'm just running through it really quick because that's how organized I am.
Yeah, give us the highlights.
All right, so
in 5 words or less. Okay, 6 words or less.
I'm going to use more words. All right, there's my 6 words to describe it. All right, okay. So explosive vegetation and
right.
Ruin in their wake.
Those are your ramp spells.
For my ramp spells. 3 Eldrazi mimics.
Okay.
4 Endless Ones. 4 Reality Smasher. Because let me tell you what, if there's one thing that makes a Reality Smasher harder to deal with, is making it uncounterable and bigger.
Okay.
Yeah, because the games that I won was either with Walker of the Waste or Altered Ego copying itself multiple times. But yeah, Reality Smasher coming in as an 8/8 uncounterable that has Trample and Haste, and yeah, it just makes it more difficult to deal with. I have 2 Kiora Master of the Depths.
Okay.
Because, well, fetching and
why not?
All that other stuff. Right. 1 Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger. 1 Worldbreaker. World Eater. Whichever that one is. A playset of Altered Egos. And then my lands. Yeah, I love that
keep
card.
Going. I'm sorry. While you were talking about your Green Rampage deck, this card seems reasonable on that green. So I'm holding up a copy of Sakura Tribe Scout. This is a card that in Modern doesn't get nearly enough play for what it does. I think if I can cover my head, maybe it'll autofocus on it. Nope. All right, never mind. Keep going. Sorry. I just... the idea of putting extra lands into play...
Yeah.
Makes me kind of randy in this deck. Anyway, keep going.
So, and then... Yeah, my land base, obviously, Lumbering Falls, Yavimaya Coast, Wastes, Forest, and then 1 Island. Ooh, and I also did something fun, just because it's in Standard, even though it's not a Standard card. Soul of the Harvest. Ooh, that's Standard playable.
Oh, is this your way of telling people, like, ha ha ha, the one decks are legal? I'm not sure where that comes from, but... So let's cover that rule super quick. Are you familiar with exactly what that rule is?
Basically, there's like a intro pack or intro decks or something. There's like 5 different ones.
Yep, 1 for each color of Magic.
Yeah, and with the exception of the things that are currently already in Standard, they also have like 4 or 5. No, the thing is like 5 or 6 different cards that are outside of Standard that are now Standard legal. Like, so they're not in any of the sets.
Right. Basically, what Travis is trying to say is that this is a printing that is also Standard legal, even though the cards that are in it are not in the other sets that currently make up a Standard. At least according to the information we are given. I said, I haven't found that rule anywhere in particular. I need to talk to Steve about it. But if you look up the card... on the Gatherer, it does show up as Standard legal and Standard playable. So yeah, there's a couple of cards in there. What did you say? There's like 5 or 6 of them.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. I can't remember. I just saw that one was legal, and now I'm like trying to brew a Sphinx's Tutelage deck with Soul of the Harvest. Just play a bunch of like tiny creatures and just draw your way to victory, because, well, I'm a cheeky fellow like that.
Do you remember where Steve... Here we go. Here it is, right here. So, Magic Welcome decks. No charge decks feature the 5-color Magic packaged in sets of 2 take-home deck boxes. Each deck includes 1 special rare that cannot be found in other Magic products. And new players can build their first 60-card decks around these special rares since they are legal for tournament play. This is on the wizards.com in their WPN section that talks about this. Now, where did he put in here what was actually in those in this list? Oh no. That's right, the internet is broken on the wizards.com maintenance.
So you guys are just gonna have to take our word for it or look it up here in like 3 days.
Yeah, however long it takes for the to get there. Yeah. So like Soul of the Harvest is one of them. I don't know, like you said, there's a few, but I can't think of what they're all called. I wonder if I can look for welcome decks. Oh, duh. Again, gather is closed. Never mind. I don't know how to find it. Wizard of the Coast is trolling us right now super hard.
It's not trolling us. It's just trolling you. I know that Wizards is down.
I just keep like trying to find new things. It's like, oh, I'll just search over here this way.
Oh, wait.
That's still the same thing.
This is the problem. We knew that it was going down. So I already cached like a whole bunch of search results. So in my mind, I'm like looking over here at the search results that I already have cached. And I'm like, Wizards is fine. I don't understand what the problem is. But then I try to make a new search and it's like, dee, 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 dee. I don't know. I feel extra special right now.
Yep. As you should.
I do. I feel amazing.
Yeah. Then the other card that really did a lot of work for me this week was Mirrorpool.
I love Mirrorpool a lot. Do you have the Reef in there that gives the creatures a +1/+1 counter if you're, like they're colorless and you brought them to play this turn?
Nope.
No? I think that'd be really strong in that deck.
Yeah. So, my only issue with that was I didn't want to take away from other colored lands that I may have needed.
Okay. I mean, you are running two colors in there. I mean, yeah. two colors, two in the colorless, whatever.
Yeah.
So here's another question. What do you think of this deck or this style of deck or something similar in Modern? Like, you have even more rampy type spells, right? Like the hidden,
right.
Like Harrow. Again, the card that I just slapped out there, Sakura Tribe Scout and Sakura Tribe Elder, and more effects like that. And then you have, you know, Walk of the Waste. It seems, I don't want to say good in Modern because you have access to like one mana Path to Exile.
Right.
But like if you have like Hangerback Walkers and other fast, large creatures to, like, go with it. Like, it seems good. Like, I feel like there's probably a green deck in there, right? Like, it runs a potential. I think you have a good shot at getting, like, the 15 lands. So you could run an Eldrazi of some sort, or you could run Walk of the Way specifically hits Waste, right? So you couldn't run like a green Tron based around this Eldrazi strategy. I mean, you could, but you wouldn't be able to use Walk of the Waste.
Right. Yeah, Walk of the Waste is specifically waste lands.
Right. So, I don't know. Like, is this a strategy that you would be interested in kind of fiddling around with in Modern? Like, these big, fast Eldrazis? I mean, I know a lot of people out there are doing it and probably doing it better than us, but like Eldrazi Temples, potentially, like I said, Walker or Waste and Walker of the Waste, or come on, Urzatron Lands.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I could, but currently our Modern meta here is just
super soft because
they super soft
standard, right?
Well, they have, you know, stuff on Saturdays also, but basically FNM is, with the exception of, you know, pre-release or, you know, release dates and other things, it's standard 3 weeks out of the month and then Modern.
I got you.
I draft on Mondays at the other shop. But then on Saturdays, I think they have just a rotating schedule of Modern, Legacy, Draft, and Standard, you know, all the formats. But I work on Saturdays.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to put a little plug in here for upcoming events. Here at the arena in Salina, Kansas, if you're nearby, if you're within the sound of my voice, it might be worth driving down here. We have a double PPTQ weekend with our friends in Manhattan coming up in a couple of weeks. And while these aren't modern, right, field, I think, on Saturday and a standard on Sunday, this go around week. This was the last one that we had to schedule them using the old scheduling rules. So the new scheduling rules no longer force you to follow the format of the PTQ that you're trying to qualify for. So because right, go ahead.
I was going to say, so you can do like a modern PPTQ?
So we can start doing modern PPTQs, which because this is the like basically the first time we've had an opportunity to do that, we have two PPTQs back-to-back scheduled for our next event, which I believe is in August, which, of course, I'll talk about. So I have until August to figure out what I want to play in Modern so I can go. Because I like playing at the one on Saturday and then judging the one on Sunday. This way, you know, it gives a little bit more numbers to both of us. If, you know, if I go play at his tournament and he comes down and plays at my tournament, you know, that's an extra player, and there's a big difference between 49 and 50 players when it comes to, like, your Wizards of the Coast retail values, you know.
Play ramp.
I could. I'm actually, I don't know how much of this I want to actually say. I am one Leon Arbiter and two Ghost Quarters away from Anna, and I guess a vault. No, I think I bought the Vault of the Archangel from putting together this Eldrazi and Taxes list. So I've got Thalia's, Tidehunter Scholars, Displacers, Flicker Wisps, Stranglers, etc. They're all on their way or already here. So it's I'm going to try it. I don't know if it's what I'm going to end up with forever and ever, but you know, I think this is will hit our metagame here locally on the side, and then it'll give me an opportunity to make some changes. Like I really like Thoughtseize in Modern. I think it's very, very good.
I'm conflicted on what to play in Modern this week.
Yeah, it's such an interesting format.
Well, I have 8 whack and black white tokens made.
Well, the black white tokens is very strong. I would probably win that way in a vacuum.
I don't have all of the bitter blossoms.
They are pricey. I think we have some at the arena if you're interested. I think if you PayPal them some dollar bills, they can mail you some.
Unless they picked any more up from the time I was there until now, you don't have any because when I was there, I bought them.
Oh, I was going to say we had like 8, I thought. But well, then they're online. I may not. They may have already sold online. But yeah, I don't know. We'll have to look some more and ask around. John. Z-Dyke decided to start getting into the black-white tokens, so he may have picked them up as well. Who knows?
Most likely. It sounds like something he'd do. Probably. That way he can sell it all in a month and buy some other stuff.
That's right. Jerk.
That's what he does.
It is what he does. So what else do we want to talk about here? We got probably another 5 or 10 minutes before we get to the game. What else tickles your fanny right now? Or should we just continue brewing this sweet green enchantment list?
Well,
no artifact.
Okay, so
gather, come back up already.
You know how I said I want to do something with ramp?
Yeah,
I think I figured it out in standard.
You're talking about standard ramp.
But it's kind of gonna be like a hybrid Ramp Madness / X deck.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, so you're using things like... is it Avacyn's Judgment?
Yeah, I was going to use that. Basically, the win condition cards that I want to use are going to be like Avacyn's Judgment, Under the Floorboards, Damnable Pact. What other X is there? Is there a green X?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head, but who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Are you planning on running like Call the Bloodline?
Yes. That was going to be the Madness Enabler.
Yeah, I was wondering if you're planning on going Jund. That makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Like I was planning on Junding with obviously the Fiery Impulse and probably the Alms of the Bane.
I don't like Alms of the Bane.
In my opinion, it's like a crappy Siege Rhino.
I mean, theoretically, it's a six mana, a six life swing.
Right.
A lot in Magic, but it's no Fiery Temper, bro. Like, the fact that it's only can hit an opponent does some weirdness. Speaking of which, let's take a quick sidestep here. Call the Bloodline in particular. I drafted this week, and
me too.
I didn't do very well. I went 2-2, and I went out of my way to draft specifically not clues. Right? I've locked up like the last four or five drafts playing the clues deck. Right?
Yeah.
So I like went way out of my way not to draft it, and so basically I lost to the two players that I lost to, both had Planeswalkers, right? But that's not why I lost, really. I lost to Flooding Out. With 18 lands in my deck, I just flooded out over and over and over again. But I felt like my deck it wasn't the best deck I've ever drafted, obviously. But I felt like it was strong, and it had a lot of powerful cards, but the draft was really difficult to read in the sense that the only person drafting white at the table was the guy who opened what's the white-red Planeswalker? Nahiri?
Yep.
Yeah, he drafted Nahiri. He was the only white player at our table. Like, things were going around that our first pick quality cards were going around, were traveling to the table. And I didn't move in because I first picked a Fiery Temper, and then I, like, second and third picked red werewolves.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't want to put werewolves and a Fiery Temper in the same deck as, you know, all these red cards. Well, that's exactly what he did, because he had Nahiri as his discard outlet. It worked really well for him. But it caught, you know, I couldn't get away with it. So I was trying to be red black, and I ended up being red green werewolves, splashing black off of a couple of fetches for like a Call of the Bloodline, the werewolf, the witch that flips over.
Yes, the cursed witch. Something like that.
I think that the one that she like flips over and kills a creature when she flips over.
Okay. Not the accursed witch. The other one.
Accursed. I don't know. Yeah. No, I don't know. Whatever it is. And then I had a Asylum Visitor, which I also thought was very, very good. When I was able to like madness it out as my last card. And then, like, during their upkeep, draw a card. I madness it out.
Kindly Stranger.
There you go. That's the one. So, like, I was able to draw numerous cards off of Asylum Visitor, and I still flooded out.
Yeah.
Like, don't know. I feel annoyed. But I think there's a really strong Madness deck.
It's going
to take some weird angles, right, to like hit it on all cylinders that I think you're going to have to deal with. But I don't know. Anyway, I just wanted to say that I think I got that I don't have to win Friday Night Magic out of my system. So now I'm just going to go back to trying to win Friday Night Magic.
All right.
At least for a couple of weeks.
With draft. Because I did draft yesterday.
Okay, and right. Which is your draft day.
Yeah. So there were... My first pack was Sorin.
All right, sounds good.
So I just immediately knew that I was going to have issues because black-white just doesn't have much synergy in this set. I mean, there's some, but it's just... It's so difficult to get through. And then I had 8 removal spells. And then, you know, creatures. So the first game I win, or the first match I win. Second match, my opponent, he mulled down to 5. And like after he took his first mulligan, I was like, you know what, I'm going to keep this. It's a 6 land hand with 2 fetches in it. I won't flood out. So I proceeded to draw 13, or I saw 13 of the 17 lands in the deck.
That's so aggravating.
Yeah.
Like I don't.
That's after I fetched twice.
Right. I don't. Every time I say this, it feels childish to me. But I don't. If there's a good game of Magic. And it's not so one-sided that if it's a good game of Magic where both people are playing and having fun, I don't care who wins.
Right.
Right? Which, again, it feels really, like, bullshitty when I say that because part of the things that really takes it to, like, a high level to me, like at a big tournament, is intentionally putting people on tilt. Like, that's the whole process of this podcast. You know, is to like talk about putting people on tilt specifically, but it's true. Like at a Friday Magic or a casual event, I really don't care who wins. I just want people to have a good time. But at like a competitive tournament, that's different. You know, like you're there to win and you want to win with every advantage you can. And those advantages are like, you know, putting people on tilt, stuff like that. But at a Saturday or just a fun casual tournament, it's so aggravating to lose because of mana issues.
Right.
Like, I played a game against the guy who eventually won the tournament of this last Friday Magic. He also had a Sorin, but he had, like, this really aggressive white-black curve that just happened to have a Sorin in his deck, like, at the top end or whatever. And... He kept a one land hand against me, drew 7, a one land hand, kept, right? His only creature was this spell that, like, exiled a creature card from the graveyard, get a 2/2 and gain 2 life. Whatever that spell is, that was his only creature.
Shambleback.
Yeah, Shambleback for, like, ever, right? And I'm like, okay, well, my opponent's mana screwed. I got this. I played like my 2 spells and then just drew all lands. And like turn 12 or 13, when I had literally 12 or 13 lands on the table, basically, he like drew his second land or his, like he had like black at that time or whatever. He had enough lands to play and we made some trades back and forth or whatever. But basically, his hand was full of white cards and he finally drew his planes and just crushed me. Like, I don't know. It was very aggravating to play that particular match. Also my opponent like rudely picked up my cards and read it and like tossed them on the table. Like I don't mind if someone handles my cards, like their cards. That's what you do. But,
be courteous.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, you know, ask, you know, like, hey, can I read your cards? Or at least when you pick them up, you know, be gentle. They're not yours. Not, you know, just don't toss them back. Like this guy at one point threw my card, like my creature that was attacking, picked it up, read it, and threw it back like hard enough to go all the way back to my lands. So then I had to pick it back up out of my lands and put it in attacking. Like that's a lot of force in my opinion to go on a Magic card. If that was a high dollar card, I would have been very annoyed, you know? Anyway, I don't know. It was not the most fun. I think the main reason I was irritated is I had went to go play Standard, but Standard was a couple people short of firing this last week. Disappointing. We finally got most of, all except I think one Damnable pack of the new Damnable pack deck that I want to play. Like an Esper pack list.
Dude, Esper pack is always fun.
Yeah, I haven't got a chance to play it, so I just wanted to play it before it rotated out of Standard. And like I said, I'm down a pack.
You still have a few months for that.
Yeah, well, not if Friday Night Magic Standard never fires.
Right.
All right, well, let's play a game.
Okay.
Which game do you want to play, Travis?
I don't care.
I really want to do Flavor Text. But we can't look up Magic cards.
I mean, good luck.
I really want to do like Flavor Text in bed, but we can't do that. So how about we do
an image? You got like you have a stack of cards behind you.
I do actually have a stack of cards behind me.
I'm gonna pick up this one. Oh, that doesn't have flavor. Nope.
Here we go.
Oh, good. Everything I've picked up. Okay, there's one.
How about we just take, I just grabbed a random card pile here.
Yeah, so did I, and it took cards to find some with flavor text.
How about we do a Mary Frack kill? Just like with the first card in this pile that's unique, right? So like Sword of Light and Shadow, Arcbound Ravager, Godless Shrine are the first three unique cards in this pile. Should I make them all creatures?
Yeah, that's
all right. Let's make a planeswalker
because I got
Arcbound Ravager.
Some right here.
I'm just scrolling through this. Deathrite Shaman and Ninja of the Deep Hours. Man, this is an interesting pile of cards. The bottom of the pile of cards is the Tarmogoyf. So, Arcbound Ravager. For those of you who are watching the video feed, looks like this: the original Mirrodin version.
Just a little bit less blurry.
Less blurry. My camera wants to autofocus on me, not that. Deathrite Shaman is an elf holding a skull in the woods. In the woods full of skulls. And Ninja, the Deep Hours, who looks like a ninja dressed in blue. I think we should base this based off of our favorite parts of the card.
What do you mean?
Well, like, you know, how we personally enjoy the card, I think, is how we should decide who we're going to marry, frack, or kill.
All right. So I already got my order set up.
All right. Shoot. I'm going to lay my order out here.
I'm going to kill the Ravager.
Oh.
Yeah, it's gone. That's an abomination if I ever saw one. So I'm going to go ahead and kill that. And then... I'll probably marry the Deathrite Shaman because I know there's a lot of value there. I'll be a gold digger. It's fine. And then,
okay.
Oh man, I always loved.
Well, that leads you having the sexual intercourses with the Ninja of the Deep Hours.
Sweet.
Well, ironically, the only difference I think between your pile and my pile. Is I'm going to marry the Arcbound Ravager. I want to have little artifact half babies that I can sacrifice it to make more half babies.
Okay.
All right. That being said, I want to make sweet, sweet loving to a ninja. Right? Like I'm on the same page as you. Like,
right.
I want it to be like.
But you know what?
Like, if imagine the moment, right? Like a dog attacks you. right? Or let's say like your girlfriend, right? Boom, starts to attack you. And you're like, all right, this is sexy, right? This is sexy. And then out of nowhere, boom, Ninja the Deep Hours throws your girlfriend to the side and then boom, like assaults you sexually. And you're like, whoa, whoa, I don't even understand. And then like a ninja, whoo, vanish.
So basically he's Bill Cosby and people.
The Bill Cosby of Magic the Gathering cards. And of course, Death Rite Shaman's already like mostly dead, so it wouldn't even be murder. And I think he's an elf, right?
Yep.
Yeah, who cares? War on the minus two con races. F that guy.
So, out of the stack that I just picked up?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Brutal Horde Chief.
Oh, I love that card. All right, keep going.
Oath of Chandra, so Chandra.
Okay, Chandra.
And Arlan Cord.
All right, this is easy.
All right, go for it.
I do not want anyone wolfing out on me in the middle of intercourse, so she's dead. Just kill her right now. She's dead to me. I think Chandra is probably like a dirty little sex kitten.
Oh, yeah, she is.
She's my love buddy. And that means I'm marrying the Brutal Horde Chief, who is an individual I am madly in love with. Boom.
Right. So, God, again, we have one thing similar, and we would both just bore into Chandra.
Oh, it burns me.
Work through the pain.
Herpes.
No, I would definitely. I'd probably marry Arlan Cord.
No. Like, hey. The first time she gets mad at you, wolfs out, and rips your head off, I don't want to hear about it.
All right, well. And the Brutal Horde Chief, his time is gone. He's dead to me now.
Oh, that guy is so much love. That guy is love.
I'll pick out three other cards.
Okay, we'll play one more.
First one.
This is a great game.
None of these have creatures on them. Oop, there's a second one.
Should I grab a pile, too? I'll grab another pile.
None of these have creatures on them. Where's another creature? Ooh, okay. Got another pile.
All right. You go while I put together. Oh, there we go. Oh, jeez. All right. Go ahead.
All right. Startled Awake.
Okay. Okay.
Let's go with... Let's go with the Startled Awake page, Earth side, and not this side.
The one that looks like a little boy ghost?
Yeah, not the child. Okay. Reflector Mage.
Okay.
And Nissa.
Which Nissa? Chunky Nissa or Thin Nissa?
Thin Nissa, the voice of Zendikar.
Doesn't matter. F her, minus two con race. She's dead to me. D-E-A-D. Always war on minus two con races. Which means, Startled Awake, which I think is just how you want to have the sex, right? You just want to be startled awake in the middle of the night and be like, boom!
Whoa! Okay, no, that's acceptable.
Which means Reflector Mage and I are going to have sweet, sweet babies.
And
a long, happy life together where they just make me disappear when I irritate them.
Also, I'm just because of my hatred for this card in standard, this is dead.
That card's great. That's a good card.
Oh, no, it's a good card. I'm not disagreeing. But that doesn't mean I don't hate it.
Okay, that's fine. Let's hear it. Who's going to be your sweet love buddy?
Startled Awake.
Yep, same logic. Yep. Nothing better than being jumped in the middle of the night.
No, it's more like, I mean, have you ever woken up to Morning Head?
No.
Oh, well, that's very startling and very exciting.
I imagine so wonderful.
So that's my logic.
Which means that you're offing.
No, I'm.
Oh no, you killed the Reflector Mage. You're marrying Nissa. Yeah, I can't support your decision to marry and theoretically make babies with the minus two con race. All right, last one.
At least they're going to be plants.
That's true. That's true. So last one, we have Hannah, Ship's Navigator.
Okay.
I don't remember. One of the Urza things.
Onslaught. Weatherlight?
I don't know. It looks like the little... it's not the Weatherlight symbol, I don't think. Looks like the leaf turned laying down or whatever. Vincer.
Ooh, another...
And apparently this was my gold... Like, I was tinkering around with the idea of an all-gold commander. A Johnny Vengeant. So, we have a sexy blonde who shoots lasers from her hand.
Oh, no, my mind's already made up.
She's got a wrist cannon. We have Vincer. And we have a Johnny who's a catman. All right, hit me.
All right. I'm going to kill Vincer. No particular reason. I'm going to marry Hannah. I'm going to frack Hannah and I'm going to marry a Johnny because I love cats.
You love cats. Well, I mean, I can see where your head's at. So, first of all, a Johnny's right off of the effing list, right? I don't want to have, because again, same logic as before. I don't want to be accidentally eaten during sex.
Yeah, but a lion is way more aggressive than a werewolf.
Yeah, I don't want to be in the middle of coitus and accidentally clawed and mauled to death. So I'm probably going to have to kill a Johnny just because I don't want to accidentally get mauled. So that leaves Hannah and Vincer. Hannah, I think, is more of the marrying type. The problem is when she gets mad, she's got lasers on her hands to, shoot me. That's the downside.
Right.
However, on the plus side, Vincer shows up, you have the goodies, and then he leaves. Right?
Yeah.
Now, the good thing about Hannah being the wife is since she's a ship's navigator, she's only in port for a couple of, for a short period of time. And the rest of the time, when she goes back to work, she's gone, right? She's away. So maybe
the perfect marriage.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe there won't be, the timing will work out in such a way that I won't get laser beamed to death by her wrist lasers.
Right.
So anyway, that was good. I liked that. Man, it's been a long time since we played that game. Boom. In the pile of cards. Travis, do you have anything else before I close this show, buddy?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to this week's episode, everybody. I hope you had a good time. If you would like to give us your answers for our Mary Frat Kill, you can email them to us at twotrollsbrew@gmail.com, or, of course, you can answer at twitter.com/turtlepower319. Or at Samus Grobel, all one word, SamusGurobo. We would like you to check out past episodes of the podcast at samusgurobo.com, or of course, mtgcast.com. You can find all our back catalogs at both of those locations. I'd also like you very much to swing over to twitch.tv/samusgurobo, basically streaming all the time now. The only times I'm not streaming are the few hours I'm asleep, the few hours I am working on stuff for the various podcasts and the arena, or actually playing Magic on Fridays, or I'm pooping. That's basically it. Like this week or this morning, I got up, I sat down, I started streaming, I had 2 dehydrated strawberries for breakfast, right on the stream. Oh, they're great. If you have not had dehydrated strawberries, get a bag. Get a bag. No. You will love them, I swear. No. You like Jolly Ranchers?
Yeah.
They're like nature's Jolly Ranchers. They're effing delicious. And then the only time I took a break was at lunch. Yesterday, I started streaming, I think, at 9 in the morning. No, it was a little late because I had to take the truck in. So I started, I think, at 9:30-ish, give or take. And I streamed until we went to the gym. And then I came back home and I streamed some more. So, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Good days, good times. When we hit 300 followers, I'll probably do another 12-hour stream. When we hit 400 followers, I will start doing 24-hour streams based on followership and donations. So there we go. Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate it. Hopefully you enjoyed the show, and stick around. Travis, what are your closing thoughts?
Just nothing. Just
boom, done, troll on.
Yep.
Why don't you tell the story about your oil filter real quick, or your oil situation?
That was such garbage. Holy crap. So
keep it short, but
yeah, I'm going to keep it short and hopefully language appropriate.
That would be really useful. Thank you.
So I go to check my oil the other day, and as I'm pulling the dipstick out, it decided to get stuck in the assembly, and I was like, I just, you know, pulled harder, and it ripped the whole assembly out of the engine. And
that's what happens when you go to the gym.
What?
So that's what happens when you go to the gym.
Yeah.
Swole.
So
Hulk strength.
I go to Walmart and I'm like, look, I pulled the dipstick out. Can you guys, you know, put it back in because it's at a weird angle and I can't get to it without any tools? They're like, oh, I mean, we can take a look at it. And I was like, cool, because I need my oil change also. They're like, okay. So they get there and then they're just like, that we're not licensed mechanics and this is more than what we can do, because I guess they're just tire and lube place. So I was like, all right. So I call up a Jiffy Lube or a Super Lube, and I was just like, hey, here's the situation. I explained it to him, and the guy's like, you could hear he was skeptical about my intelligence. And, you know,
like, I think you just probably took the dipstick out of your car.
Right. You know, that's completely understandable. So I show up to the shop, and I show him. He goes, oh, well then, now I understand what your problem is. So they look at it and they're like, you know what, here, how about you go to our mechanic that we send everyone to? They gave me directions how to get there. And then that mechanic was right next. It was like in a conjoined building with another Super Lube.
Right.
So it took him like 15 minutes to put it back together. And then, oh, it was so
15 minutes cost you how many dollars?
It cost me like $18 for him to put it back in.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. And then I go get my oil changed, and then I was like, you know what? I need the air filter also. And they bring the air filter out, and it's just filthy because I haven't touched it in a year, so I knew it was time to change it. And after all that, it ended up costing me like $60-$70 just to change my damn oil, all because I wanted to check it.
Yeah, but you got some vital, maintenance done too.
Right.
I mean, conveniently located immediately following purchase of a new headset and webcam.
Right.
So probably a slightly unforeseen cost, but at the same time, now you don't have to worry about it for a couple of months.
Right. So, well, at least
you probably spent like $40 on that air filter.
Yeah, something. I don't know.
Like a $2 air filter costs you like $45 probably.
Yeah, you know, exactly how much it's supposed to cost.
Go Jiffy Lube.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, Travis, I feel your pain. My truck, like I said, is in the shop right now. I'm not
still?
Sure if I'm going to get it. Well, I dropped it off yesterday. I'm not even sure when I'm going to get it back. It might be a week or more.
Joy.
I dropped it off, and the guy's like, yeah, so you must have talked to Bill. I'm like, I don't know, somebody, whoever answered the phone. He said bring it in today. It's like, well, a couple of other people beat you in already this morning. I'm like, okay, it's fine. Not in a rush. I don't drive the truck because it sounds terrible and rides rough. So just fix it. You know what I mean? He's like, all right. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. This is one of the places that Josh recommended. So I trust that it'll get fixed. Whether or not it gets stolen between now and then is another story. But hopefully it'll get fixed real soon. All right, Travis, do the thing.
Troll on, everybody.
Troll on, everybody. Bye-bye.